You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Phil Solomon is not a conventional filmmaker. The CU Boulder professor makes experimental movies using found footage and chemically altered film emulsions. In some of his films, abstract images flicker in eerie silence. In others, shadowy figures appear and then vanish, accompanied by a kind of industrial hum. Solomon has taught film at CU since 1991. He was a longtime friend and collaborator with the late Stan Brakhage, considered one of the leading figures of experimental filmmaking. Well, Solomon has just won a $50,000 fellowship from United States Artists based in Los Angeles. He's one of 50 American artists to be honored with the annual award today. Phil, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Stan Brakhage used to make films where he would paint directly on the film, or even scratch the film frame by frame. You do something similar, but it involves chemicals. How does that work?
I have several different techniques in order to kind of wrench the emulsion of the film out of what's ordinarily given to us by Kodak.
Get basic for me. Emulsion is the layering?
Yes. A film is made out of a base and then an emulsion, which is the gook that captures the light.
Okay. So the chemicals you work with adapt that emulsion.
Correct. I basically soften the emulsion, and then let it dry back on itself. I mean, that's one of the things I do.
Does it make the film difficult to go through the projector ever?
Oh, I never show the original treated image.
Got it.
So the next stage of the process is to do what's called optical printing, which is to say I re-photograph the film, the treated film, one frame at a time, where the camera is facing a projector, essentially.
Huh. But of course, there is a certain amount of unpredictability here. You can effectuate, I imagine, you've been doing this for years, that you can get some kind of effect that you want, but there's a little randomness here, isn't there?
That's correct. And my field is often, some people call us avant-garde film. Mm-hmm. That is a war term. It usually means the people who die first, the front line, so to speak. I don't really care for that. I'm a coward, and I'll stay back. Thank you very much. Underground, it used to be called underground in the Andy Warhol days, because literally you would walk underground to go to the cinematheques. And also it had a kind of subversive edge to it. And then, of course, experimental. The term experimental is okay, except I'm really, when I show my work, it's no longer an experiment. You're seeing the results of the experiment. So the reason I'm drawn to this kind of cinema is precisely what you're talking about. There's an element of chance. There's a kind of wonderment about it. I never quite know what I'm going to get, and it's terribly exciting. Whereas the other kind of cinema, you know, the movies, is mostly about very controlled execution.
Things are scripted. Things are storyboarded out.
Where they often experiment is actually in acting, which is what's most thrilling to me these days about narrative film.
Let's talk about the images themselves. We've talked about the process. So what is the effect visually of that chemical process? What does it look like?
Well, in the most recent work, which is partly what I was being awarded for, it's called American Falls. I've been working on it for 12 years. I'm actually just finishing it.
It's longer than most of your other projects.
It's longer. It's more ambitious. It's exponentially more complicated. Look, in this case, the patina of the film, the texture of it, looks almost like it has a bas relief. It has a little bit of depth to it, partly because when I re-photograph it, I'm also illuminating it from the back.
Oh.
And
you're getting some shadows.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally thick off the surface of the film. And what I'm interested in is bringing out a painterly approach to the film. So it looks very much like moving paintings, what I'm interested also is in ambiguity. I'm interested in that the images are not so legible, or they're more like dreaming. They're more like thought. Thought is not, so clear. Thought is murky. Thought, you have many thoughts at once.
For me, it was meditative to watch your films. They put me in Well, a relaxed, transfixed space. You also integrate, as we said in the introduction, found footage.
Correct.
Where do you find film?
Well, fortunately, I'm a professor of film studies, so I'm often in a position where people film comes through. For example, the Colorado School of Mines dumped an entire archive on the University of Colorado, and that's where I started to look when I began American Falls.
Footage of what kinds of things?
Newsreel footage, black and white, very beautifully labeled newsreel footage. Again, what do people mostly take newsreels of? War. A lot of it was war. World War II, the Korean War, basically tragedies. You know, and they were all in 3-minute little bites, and they were in perfect shape. No scratches. It was really fantastic. I also, in fact, PBS. Somebody gave me, back when I was in Boston, outtakes from a WGBH documentary. And I treat it in such a way that it's no longer recognizable as such.
I also recall seeing one of your films in which it looked like there was maybe old family footage.
Correct.
Kind of just that wonderful, grainy, warm kids doing something in the yard.
8-millimeter film.
Yeah, 8-millimeter, right.
The reason I became a filmmaker to begin with was my dad had a Bell & Howell camera and took home movies of the family. It was very special when he showed it to us because we couldn't control the apparatus. Unlike kids with VCRs, they could show anytime they want, they could see their work. But with 8-millimeter, my dad gave us a special show. So I include my dad's films, and with optical printing, I don't have to actually use the original. And whatever people give to me. In one of my films, I use 16-millimeter home movies from the 20s, which is very rare.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and CU Boulder professor and unconventional filmmaker Phil Solomon is with us. He's just been awarded $50,000. It's a fellowship from United States Artists based in Los Angeles. He's one of 50 American artists to be honored with this award. Let's talk about this huge multi-year project that you mentioned. I understand that American Falls was commissioned by the Corcoran Museum of Art in Washington, D.C.
Correct.
Tell me about it briefly.
There was an associate curator of photography, a man named Paul Roth, who came to the New York Film Festival in 1999 and saw my films and was blown away by them, really was terribly moved by them, called me, contacted me. He has Colorado connections. Came out, took a plane out here, visited me, saw all my work, invited me to the Corcoran at the dawn of the millennium, and gave me carte blanche, not in terms of money, but in terms of space. He said, you could have any room you want. And he wanted me to do something different than my ordinary films. He was interested in my doing an installation, which I had never done before.
In the museum.
In the museum.
Yeah.
So I saw on the first floor, one of their greatest pieces of art is the painting called Niagara by Frederick Church. And then I walked up and saw a piece being projected in the rotunda in surround with 6 projectors. And I put that together. I said, okay, I want to do something in the rotunda. I'll use 6 projectors like the piece I was looking at.
And you want to have it draw on Niagara Falls.
And Niagara Falls was the key metaphor. So the title came first, which is unusual for me, American Falls. And then I started to meditate on what that meant. Also, it was my first trip to Washington. And wherever you go in Washington, you're in the city of the dead. There's monuments everywhere. And I have complicated relationships to those monuments, as we all do. I loved Frank Capra movies and Jimmy Stewart going to Washington. At the same time, I have complicated relationship with the politics that were going on in the year 2000. So I started to meditate on the word falls and all that it could mean. And the fallen. These monuments are the tributes to the fallen. And that's what I wanted American Falls to be. And what goes up must come down.
I understand that your most recent films borrow images from the popular video game Grand Theft Auto.
Right. And anybody who knows my work, particularly the work we're talking about with extreme cinema texture, they were shocked when they first saw these pieces. And it came about really quite naturally. What happened was I taught a class in postmodernism because I knew something was changing in the movies. I was going to the movies, and I was no longer understanding what was up and what was down, and this sense of gravity, the sense of air. I felt this something's changing in the movies. The difference between when you would go see a John Ford movie of Monument Valley and there's a great wide-angle shot and you walk out and the camera is steady and you feel the air and you know where the earth is and you know where the sky is, you know where up and down are. And then you go see The Matrix and everything is topsy-turvy, upside down. Anything can happen.
Anything can fly.
Anything can fly. The rules of physics are changing. And so that had to be influenced by video games. And I am a person who grew up without video games. I don't have any children. And I saw my nephew playing from time to time. But I last left off at Pong in a bar in the 70s, you know, boop, boop. So I literally was a naive. And I went into one of the local stores with the Geek Squad. And I said to the guy, I wanted to buy a PlayStation. And I said, I want to buy a game, and I just want to walk around. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to have to do work. I don't want jobs. I already have one, thank you. And I just want to walk around and see what's going on. And he said, you have to see Grand Theft Auto. So I took it home, and I was absolutely appalled.
I mean, so much for not killing anyone.
Yes, exactly. And in order to move through the city, you actually have to do a few kills. Anyway, it was at once terrifying and very amusing. And what really tickled me was the level of detail that they paid attention to, the art direction, in drawing out these worlds that were completely unnecessary. In order, you don't kill any better if the grass is a little greener or the trees are blowing in the wind. And yet some department in the production cared that this would be beautiful.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Phil Solomon teaches film at CU Boulder. Today he was named one of 50 USA Fellows by United States Artists. At CPR.org, there's a link to his website where you can see clips from many of his films. Zachary Barr and David Hill produced our show today. I'm Ryan Warner with Colorado Public Radio.